Welcome back to Good Oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil, Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. Visit penriteoil.com. Mike Sheehan to join us very, very shortly. And Lewis Martin from Channel 7 after the whole Taylor Harris situation and Channel 7's role in that. I think Michael might have organised for the boss of Channel 7 to join us. What are you looking at?
I didn't know about this.
Well,
didn't
that's
come
what
across
Mike
my desk.
Brings his own guess. Hey, Mike's here for Select Footy Cards, the official AFL Select Footy Cards Collector Awards. Keeps your texts coming in and your phone calls. Ash, you can have a spell, your tool. Welcome to you, Michael. Good to see you.
Thank you, Gary. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Mike. Great to see you.
Thanks, mate.
Where have you been?
Well, I've just been familiarising myself with Sorrento again. And
Freshened up.
Blown up.
No, you haven't. You're looking good. And you got the new Ponderosa.
I have.
Haven't had the invite.
I don't know what you're going to say then.
Haven't had the invite.
Haven't you?
No.
Well, you're incommunicado when you're not on the air.
No, that is not true. Exactly not true at all. Hey, did you go last night?
I did.
What'd you make of it?
I thought halfway through the second quarter, I said, well, here's last year's best team, my view, Richmond, playing last year's worst team. And it looked like that. And I thought at halftime, Richmond would look 10 goals better. And then the Blues got back within 2 goals.
So credit to, did the Tigers?
A bit of both. Carlton's application, there was nothing wrong with that. Their skill execution was poor. Well, you were there.
Yeah.
You were there. But I thought Richmond early were very sharp.
They looked extraordinarily sharp early. Yeah, they looked back to their absolute best in a couple of seasons. Well, even for most of last year. They
I think they were still the best team over the year last year.
They struggled in their forward. That first quarter was about the times that they did go forward with Mackay and McGovern and Charlie Kerner. Yeah. They were absolutely obliterated. They couldn't win or even halve a contest.
They hit a wall across half forward, didn't they?
As soon as they got competitive there and got a bit more supply through the middle, admittedly, they started to look competitive again.
But they changed the angle of their delivery, though, too. They were going down the line earlier. Then they started to sort of come across the ground and open up the play a bit, which made it much more difficult for the defenders to actually place themselves. So I thought they did that really cleverly.
Yeah, their application, I thought, all the way through was fine. But Kerno didn't play well. Some of the people that needed to play well for them to be good just weren't there last night.
Charlie Kerno had a stinker.
He
won't have one as bad as that, I would suggest.
No, I agree. And look, I think they probably got the rough end of the pineapple early with some decisions. But it was, again, that situation where they dropped chess marks. They left the ball on the ground when they went down. You can't do that playing against a good team.
They looked young, light and nervous early on. So it took them a while to settle down. Is it as simple as saying Richmond's chances now winning the flag are almost impossible without Rance just so much more difficult without Rance?
They've got to be more difficult because of his status in the game. He's probably the preeminent key defender.
Yep.
But last year we saw the two grand final teams both had key players missing.
That's right. Is it easier, though, to go without a ruckman than it is to go without somebody that can play the position that Alex Rance plays?
Maybe, but when Netanui went down, those who did think the West Coast could contest would have been far less optimistic after that.
No, I agree with that. And what they've got, Richmond, I don't think they can, but that's just an opinion. They could, but I don't think they will. But with Asprey assuming the key post and Rance playing more as the floater,
they're
much better prepared. Because Asprey and Grimes as a 1-2 should be able to handle any forward combination of 1-2. And then you've got Vlosten, who's underrated and can play tall. Hooley's in great nick. And they may have to find one other. But they're pretty well... you're never going to cover for Rance. But
that's true. But, Gaz, the game's decided up the ground anyway, isn't it? I mean, it's the midfield. If the Richmond midfield and their forwards play as they can, there's less pressure on their back line.
Yeah, that's true.
All of that is a given. But
That
goes without saying. But Rance's ability to, I was sitting next to our stats man from Champions, great lad. I think the first 8 times or something, Rance had 6 intercepts, 6 involvements in. That's in the first 8 times they went forward.
That is the great point, because there's 17 other teams in the competition right now who will be smoking the pipe like Gary is smoking the pipe, because you have to plan to play against Rance and Richmond when you play against the Tigers, because he disrupts so much of what you're trying to do when you go forward. They don't have another player in their team, Richmond, that can replace the way that Rance plays. They can change the way they play defensively, but that means that alters their back 6 as well.
Yeah, I understand that. And he's an outstanding player. There's no question about that. The one thing in their favour is they've got 21 rounds now to try to come up with a
and that's
combination
what coaching's
that
all
minimises
about.
The damage.
We interviewed Damien Hardwick pre-game, and I asked him about Noah Bolter, and I said, where's he going to play his best footy, this kid, number 38? He said, well, I'm hoping you could tell me after the game, because we don't know. He said he's as athletic as Alex. He reminded him so much of Alex Rance as a young man. He's as athletic as Alex Rance. Now, I don't think he's ever going to go, well, not ever. I don't think this year he'll be a replacement, but potentially down the track. He did a couple of things last night athletically. He looked at it and he said, I can see why they get so excited about it. So that's the downside. We think there's enough there, enough shoots, if you want to use the term, for Carlton supporters to have taken something out of last night.
And I was amazed, not surprised, when Carlton, I looked up at the scoreboard and I said, they're only 2 goals down.
There was a great sense of momentum, and Walsh was having a say in it, which was really exciting to see that young kid.
Yeah.
You've watched a lot of young players burst onto the scene. Where do you rate him?
Just behind you, Gaz. And I wasn't old enough to have seen Tim play.
You wrote my first story in the Herald.
I did. What I liked about Walsh, he certainly knows where the footy is.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he got caught as he should have last night because of the tempo, but that's his first time at that level. And a couple of times he was under pressure and he kicked it wildly. Mm. But his ability to find the footy would have to make the Carlton people very, very happy.
You know, in his last his 2 years of TAC Cup footy, his lowest possession tally was 23.
Yeah.
In 2 years, he's played 2 JLT and an AFL now round one, and he hasn't gone under 23 possessions. So your point about him finding the footy, it doesn't matter the level, he's just going to keep finding it. He's going to keep getting better.
And great leadership from Cripps last night. Wasn't he magnificent?
Yeah.
Is he your favourite?
I admire him like everyone else does. I don't know if he's my favourite. He's probably, he's not as explosive, say, as a Dangerfield, but his strength. And one time I watched him last night, you know, he always looks like he's got time up on his side.
Yeah.
But he needed to find a yard, and he did.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not normal for him. Like, he just barges his way out.
I was watching him and Jack Revolt out on the ground before the game, and they were having a chat. He towered over Jack Revolt. Yeah. He is huge. He's huge for a midfielder.
Through his thickness. I mean, Jack is as tall as him.
No. He's taller than Jack Revolt.
You don't reckon Jack Revolt's 6'4"?
He's taller. Mike.
I
had my glasses on.
Yeah.
I was watching.
You're getting old, though.
That's true. They were standing side by side. He is taller than Jack Revolt. I don't care what it says in the AFL record. He is taller than Jack Revolt.
Okay.
He's as tall as Jonathan Brown.
Well,
and he's taller than Jack Revolt.
Have I got the right Jack Revolt? The Richmond bloke?
I hope Clayton Oliver plays well tomorrow, Tim, because my debate about him and Cripps is out of the box. He is just...
And you love Clayton Oliver, don't you?
Well, I do, yes.
Yeah.
So I need him to just reinforce that he's in the same breath.
Yeah, boys, I must say, I was listening earlier on when Alan Richardson was on, and sometimes we scare coaches back into their shell because we sort of make too much about what they say. That was as honest as interview as I can remember hearing from any coach.
If you missed it, let's have a listen to some of what Alan Richardson had to say.
As we've upped the load in terms of the intensity, his body has just struggled. So that's the problem. The problem is that he almost needs to do, to some extent, he needs to be rebuilt. And so I don't think I did say round four. I wouldn't be surprised if it's longer than round four, Tim.
Longer than round four?
Yeah, I would. It'll take a while. But we did know that we were getting in a bloke that we needed to some extent rebuild, but probably not to this extent. But that's okay. He's here for a long time. He's not here for a short time. So if it means he's not with us for a month longer than we thought, that's fine.
Okay.
My bad. I should have told you that was Dan Hannabury that he was talking
about.
Yes,
it was. If I were a St Kilda supporter this morning, I would have spat my cornflakes all over the kitchen hearing that. Now, I loved his honesty, and he told us exactly where Hannabury is, but I can't believe a football club has put most of their eggs in one basket, that's the Hannabury basket, and now we're not sure that he'll play for that footy team in the first 6 weeks, and he's got to be rebuilt. The knock on the Hannabury recruiting exercise was, is he worn out? Has all his sort of physical, the way he's played in Sydney, has it just drained him, and is he almost gone as an elite player? Well, if you're listening to that interview this morning, the question still stands, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we asked him in the due diligence process, in the buyer-beware process, and he said, yeah, we were understanding of where his body was at. We were understanding the challenges, understanding all that. We just thought that we could...
You could, okay. If that's the case, could you as an AFL club have given. It's a 5-year contract, isn't it, for Dan?
At least four. And
okay,
an
so
option,
let's work on four. A minimum 4-year contract to a bloke who's, I think, late 20s, and you've got a rebuilding.
Yeah, the question mark was legitimate and looks to be well justified, doesn't it?
Gee.
Mm.
As a coach, though, like, if you examine that, like, clearly Richo wanted to talk about that, and he was brutally honest about that. He wanted to put that out there, okay? So I don't want to get asked questions week in, week out about when Dan Hannabury's coming out there. He's just said, okay, we need to rebuild him. It's going to take us as long as it possibly can, or as long as it does take to rebuild this bloke, okay? So for him, the admission there now is that they've got a problem with Dan Hannabury.
Yeah, but
that's the first time that we've actually heard it to that degree.
But implicit in the admission is, why are you recruiting a bloke?
Well, that's the next question associated with it, yeah.
Let's go to Mark from South Melbourne, wants to talk about this. G'day, Mark.
G'day, guys. I'm really concerned how actually St Kilda's list management's actually going. Let's have a look at Carlisle. They picked him up 2-3 years ago. First year he didn't play. Then there was rumours with his back. And look what's happened. Have a look at Hannabury. Everyone in the media have heard that he won't play 15 games this year. Then you have a look at the two kids that they picked up of Max King and the other young bloke, Bryce, or whatever his name is. He's not playing. They go into the year with two players last year that were under injury clouds and they put them onto the list. Okay, Robertson, that's a different kettle of fish. Paddy didn't play for nearly 6 weeks. We're going -4 into the year, and then they turn around and say to the supporters, let's rejoin and let's embrace. I looked at Carlton last night. They had 6 new players. When our season starts, what have we got? We've got just everyone on the rehab list.
All right, Marco, appreciate that. A little bit of frustration coming out from a passionate St Kilda supporter. Yeah. And the Saints have got Dean Kent. He's playing for the first time, the ex-Melbourne player. They've got Matt Parker from South Fremantle, a mature rager. They've got Nick Hine from Essendon, from the Essendon VFL team, and also Callum Wilkie from North Adelaide. So there's some new faces in the squad for St Kilda as well.
Yeah, but the basis of the new platform was and is supposed to be Dan Hannabury.
Yeah, yep. That's exactly right. Can we move on to another topic? Stephen May won't be playing for Melbourne this weekend because he's been suspended for a week. And
Stephen May.
I know you've got a strong
I would,
view on
I
this.
Would actually, I'd fine Stephen May. He's 1 week's payment for that.
No,
he's
allowed to.
You can't fine him. You can't fine him.
No.
A club can't fine a player for any misdemeanor.
Not to my understanding.
Wow. Stephen May was irresponsible with that.
Yeah, it was a bad decision, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm surprised Melbourne hasn't even said anything about that.
Well, Simon Goodwin came out afterwards and was strongly of the opinion that he was going to be okay.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, coaches say that.
No, they took it to the tribunal. That was Melbourne's statement.
But let's talk about what he did, though.
Yeah, he blocked a player and went too high with the block.
Well, there's a bloke carted off the ground.
That's right. No, I'm not
defending
him.
Because of an unnecessary action.
Yeah, but it was, in terms of, on the scale of unnecessary actions, I don't think it was at
the
extreme.
Tim, if you do that stuff, you run the risk of that.
Of course you do. Of course, and he did.
A very strong response to Mike Sheen this morning. I know you've gone off the podcast with Mike and Tomo. That's not coming back?
That's Sam and Tomo.
Sam and Tomo.
Yeah.
That's not coming back?
Well, no, I removed myself. Yeah. I walked.
Yes.
Yeah. I did say, neither of them tended to believe this, I don't think, but I said, originally, I said I'd do it for a year and then have a review.
And you've reviewed?
Yeah, and I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Right. In hindsight, would you have done it again?
Yes, I would have.
Would you have?
And I would quote Nick Riewoldt every time this comes up. Nick says, me and my mates love listening to it, mate. He said, but it's very loose.
Well, that could also be said it offended some people.
It did.
Mm.
But if you get big personalities like Newman and Thomas in a discussion.
Yep.
That's inevitable.
That's right.
And being the journalist that you are, you'd be all for freedom of speech.
I am.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm not for. Freedom of taking anything that's not nailed down.
What's happened?
What happened to your
My Trek bike got nicked from Albert Park Station last night.
What time?
Well, between the hours of, officer, between the hours of 5:30 and 10:30.
What colour bike?
Black.
Right. Well, if you don't get it back, our good friends at Giant might be able to help
you out.
But
don't dismiss it, Gary. We shouldn't live in a society where people just sort of say, "Oh, I think I'll have that bike."
Did you chain it up?
Yeah, I did.
I agree with you.
So, how do you cut through it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
That's my bike light.
I know, that's everything. That's your transportation.
North Face jumper.
Joel's been waiting for a while. He's joined us. Mike Sheen is with us along with the Whispers. G'day, Joel.
G'day, guys. Mike, I hope you find your bike, mate. Good luck with that one.
Thanks, mate.
Up somewhere. look, gents, a real quick one. I know we've probably given the Taylor Harris probably too much airtime with what was said, and I didn't get a chance to see it all, and it's probably inexcusable what was said on social media. But my question is, and probably it's just my opinion, or I want to see what your thoughts are. I saw this morning on Dustin Martin's social media. He had comments from females on his page where they were quite inexcusable, things to the point of, you know, it shouldn't be said. I wish you the father of my two kids, so I want to put my lips around your thighs. Mm. Little things like this. So at what point is it inexcusable to be said to the AFL women's, but not yet to the men, the male players of the AFL? You know what I mean? So it's, at what point do we start looking at that? I know it's, is it just we have to accept it because we're male? Or
You're right, Joel. You were talking about it during the ad break, and we've been on the end of it ourselves, but I have as well, and it's wrong in every
situation. It is, but it's sort of more, it's convention, isn't it, with blokes? I mean, as Tim raised the example of a bloke getting hit in the Jets crackers, and we laugh at it. And I think it's because...
But that's a humour that... That's humour defended. That's the defence of humour. This is vitriol for whatever reason.
Directed at genitalia.
Martin, I believe I'm not on it. Alex Rance got like some really poor comments last night when he was carried off the ground. So Joel's point is, why did the Taylor Harris thing need... Did we need Taylor Harris to come out to bring this to light, given it's been happening, you know, to men and women for a long time and not just sports people?
Yeah. Well, that's a fair question. I was interested in the issue about whether the trolls get some traction because the photo was taken down. I think there is an extra sensitivity with the females because it's new, right? In the footy context, isn't it?
The game is newer.
Yes.
But I would imagine there would be basketballers and hockey players and netballers that would be the subject of horrible commentary.
Well, I suppose there is. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. But anyway, the fact that it's been brought to light is a very good thing. Joel's point
I think that, and the other thing I reckon, if I can, one more point on this, I think that the thing that offended me among many is that the Taylor Harris kicking action was classical. It's the most stylish kicking action I've seen from a female, and it was so alike to the famous Ted Whitten kicking action.
Exactly.
I think we turn an item of beauty into something where people are smutty about it.
She's now at Carlton. There was a picture of her doing that 3 years ago. I remember looking at that kicking action saying, that's just the most incredible thing I've seen.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, this is tend to stir up, you know, the pigs out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on from that. We've got to get to the headlines. You want to talk about the Western Bulldogs jumper. You want to talk about rule changes, Jesse Hogan, runners, Simon Goodwin and the footy shows.
We're going till 10, Gaz.
We've got a lot to get through this morning and you're welcome at all times. A very strong response to Mike Sheen this morning. I know you've gone off the podcast with Mike and Tomo. That's not coming back?
That's Sam and Tomo.
Sam and Tomo.
Yeah.
That's not coming back?
Well, no, I removed myself. Yeah. I walked.
Yes.
Yeah. I did say that neither of them tended to believe this, I don't think, but I said, originally I said I'd do it for a year and then have a review.
And you've reviewed?
Yeah, and I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Right. In hindsight, would you have done it again?
Yes, I would have.
Would you have?
And I would quote Nick Riewoldt every time this comes up. Nick says, me and my mates love listening to it, mate. He said, but it's very loose.
Well, that could also be said it offended some people.
It did.
Mm.
But if you get big personalities like Newman and Thomas in a discussion, that's inevitable.
That's right.
And being the journalist that you are, you'd be all for freedom of speech.
I am.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm not for. Freedom of taking anything that's not nailed down.
What's happened?
What happened to you,
my bike, my Trek bike, got nicked from Albert Park Station last night.
What time?
Well, between the hours of... officer, between the hours of 5.30 and 10.30.
What colour bike?
Black.
Right. Well, if you don't get it back, our good friends at Giant might be able to help
you
out.
But don't dismiss it, Gary. We shouldn't live in a society where people just sort of say, oh, I think I'll have that bike.
Did you chain it up?
Yeah, I did.
I agree with you.
So, how do you cut through it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
That's my bike light.
I know,
bike,
that's everything. That's
my
your North transportation. Face jumper.
Joel's been waiting for a while. He's joined us. Mike Sheen is with us along with the Whispers. G'day, Joel.
G'day, guys. Mike, I hope you find your bike, mate. Good luck with that one.
Thanks, mate.
Up somewhere. look, gents, a real quick one. I know we've probably given the Taylor Harris probably too much airtime with what was said, and I didn't get a chance to see it all, and it's probably inexcusable what was said on social media. But my question is, and probably it's just my opinion, or I want to see what your thoughts are. I saw this morning on Dustin Martin's social media, he had comments from females on his page where they were quite inexcusable, things to the point of, you know, it shouldn't be said. I want to be the, I wish you the father of my two kids, so I want to put my lips around your thighs. Mm. Little things like this. So at what point is it inexcusable to be said to the AFL women's, but not yet to the men, the male players of the AFL? You know what I mean? So it's, at what point do we start looking at that? I know it's, is it just we have to accept it because we're male? Or because
you're right, Joel. Boys? You were talking about it during the ad break, and we've been on the end of it ourselves, but I have as well, and it's wrong in every
situation. It is, but it's sort of more, it's convention, isn't it, with blokes? I mean, as Tim raised the example of a bloke getting hit in the Jets crackers, and we laugh at it. And I think it's because...
But that's a humour, that's humour defended, that's the defence of humour. This is vitriol for whatever reason.
Directed like at genitalia, Martin,
I believe, I'm not on it. Alex Rance got like some really poor comments last night when he was carried off the ground. So Joel's point is, why... Did the Taylor Harris thing need? Did we need Taylor Harris to come out to bring this to light? Given it's been happening, you know, to men and women for a long time, and not just sports people.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair question. I was interested in the issue about whether the trolls get some traction because the photo was taken down. I think there is an extra sensitivity with the females because it's new, right? In the footy context, isn't it?
The From game footy. Is yeah. newer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But I mean, they would have. I mean, I would imagine there would be basketballers and hockey players and netballers that would be the subject of horrible commentary.
Well, I suppose there is. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. But anyway, the fact that it's been brought to light is a very good thing. Joel's point.
I think that, and the other thing I reckon, if I can, one more point on this, I think that the thing that offended me among many is that the Taylor Harris kicking action was classical. It's the most stylish kicking action I've seen from a female. And it was so alike to the Ted Whitten, the famous Ted Whitten kicking out.
Exactly.
I think we turn an item of beauty into something where people are smutty about it.
She's now at Carlton. There was a picture of her doing that 3 years ago. I remember looking at that kicking action saying, that's just the most incredible thing I've seen.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, this is tend to stir up the pigs out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on from that. We've got to get to the headlines. You want to talk about the Western Bulldogs jumper. You want to talk about rule changes, Jesse Hogan, runners, Simon Goodwin and the footy shows.
We're going till 10, Gaz.
We've got a lot to get through this morning and you're welcome at all times. Michael Sheen's with us. Great to have him. And people are loving having you there.
They love him. Absolutely love him.
What are you doing over there?
I'm just clapping without my hands making contact.
You've got a long list of items here. Why don't you go with the footy shows on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
You're a keen observer and have been for a long time of the television programming.
I'm a long-time watcher of the footy show.
Yep.
Probably from its inception and have wavered in the last couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just almost gave myself a test Wednesday night. I just said I'll wait until 9 o'clock and see which show I instinctively wanted to watch. There's the curiosity about the new footy show.
Yep.
And there's to see how the front bar came back.
The champs, the reigning champs.
Yeah, but only on a short period, though. And I went with the front bar, and I only went to the footy show in the ad breaks. The front bar, it's got something special. It's got genuine humour.
Mm.
And it's not contrived, and it's not at anyone's expense, except mine briefly on Wednesday night. I thought it was a brilliant comeback by the front bar. The footy show, when I turned it over and Brownie and Lloydie were talking analytically about the footy, it just seemed out of place.
Mm.
I know it's odd, it's a footy show, but it didn't seem to be the tone that I was expecting of a footy show on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It's much different. But one thing we always should bear in mind is that's their first go at it.
Yep.
Front bar's been going for 4 years.
Yeah, well, they're off Broadway for probably 2 years, and they've been on Channel 7 for maybe 3 years now.
But the front bar don't talk any pure footy.
No.
No, they have fun, though, don't they?
Yes, they do.
It's a humorous show around the game.
And I don't want to immerse myself in this, but they found a clip of Bruce McAvaney and me talking about a night grand final from 1995.
That was so
funny. Where does this stuff come from?
And you know what Mike said back in 1995? I think it'll come in. I think it may be in next year.
I was before my time, Tim. It'll happen.
Let's quickly go to Sean, who's in North Dandenong. G'day, Sean.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we all?
Good, thanks.
Mike, more a question for you than the other two gentlemen, even though I respect their opinion. For the cynics out there that are a little bit over this round one, has to be Carlton Richmond, and for those of us that may or may not have wanted to turn off by quarter time but didn't because it was the first game of the year, has the AFL got a bit confused between a big game and a big attendance record? Because, quite frankly, for those of us that aren't Carlton and Richmond, we're a little over this. We wait all year, we wait and we wait, and we get to round one, and it's over by quarter time.
Yep, sure. Your thoughts? Who would you like to see play in round one, Mike?
Well, I agree with Sean's point. What about if we had a prolonged period? In fact, we are having one where Richmond's at the top and Carlton's at the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't think they should hold that fixture.
So what do we do? Do we replay or do we have the rematch of the previous year's grand final teams the round one opener? Would that satisfy you?
I think the best game. We should pick one of the standout games that's got box office appeal.
So the point there from Sean is it's not about the number of people that might be there at the ground attending to watch the game. It's the actual spectacle of the game itself and the contest between teams.
But I think the situation here is it's so important to the Carlton coffers because this is the game where they're guaranteed a big crowd. And I think they now share the gate, don't they?
It was their home game last night. That's generally what happens.
So it's important. I understand that about giving struggling clubs a kick-up.
Mm.
And there's no better one than round one against the Tigers or the reigning, the team as good as they are. But I'm with Sean. I would like to think, a Collingwood, not necessarily West Coast, but say Collingwood-Richmond. How would that have gone last night?
Oh, no, that would have been magnificent last night. Absolutely magnificent. So you're only saying, though, while they're top teams, though.
Well, they do the draw between seasons.
Yeah.
They know who the draw cards are. So I think it should be more fluid than it is.
Would have been a better season opener having Geelong-Collingwood on last night as opposed to Richmond and Carlton?
Of course it would, yeah.
Sean, you're in the running for Caller of the Week, and if you're the Caller of the Year, a Toyota Hilux SR5, great finance offer on 2018 model RAV4, search Toyota value, SEM breakfast for Melbourne Airport parking. Warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes, and our terminal parking is $12 and Goddings are your Kubota excavator, 5-star service dealer, 5 for $30 with the main man who's come back as well as what's one of the great comebacks?
Peter Hudson.
I've had the same amount of training. Nil.
Over 900 messages this morning and most of them are welcoming Michael Sheehan.
Shut up, Gary,
no, I'm serious.
Please.
Back to the program and how well you've introduce yourself.
I have a serious
society.
Question.
Mike here for Select Footy Cards Official, AFL Select Footy Car, Footy Stars Collector Cards for serious collectors.
A lot of people think this is very, very good for your brand, by the way.
That's what they're saying.
What brand am I?
Hey, quickly, before your next point, I want to ask you this one very seriously. Their fight last night. I don't know if you've caught up with this and seen it. We've had a lot of messages this morning about the brawl. It was just horrendous what I saw from, it must have been a social media clip, wasn't it?
Yeah, somebody had taken on their phone. Yeah.
We've got an issue.
What, at the MCG?
Big punch on a bloke, knocked a guy to the ground and then jumped on him and just started pounding into his head.
Whereabouts?
It looked like Northern Stand.
Really?
It was lower level.
Is going on in this
horrendous
society?
What do we do?
Horrendous.
We're quick to jump on our friends in the world of soccer and say hooligans and how bad it is. It's just disgraceful what happened last night.
Well, I don't know. I'm not aware of what happened last night, but I was aware of incidents last year when a couple of blokes left the footy and were assailed in the street and punched up.
Mm.
Well, I mean, this sounds simple, but isn't it a matter of the courts?
Well, these blokes are easily identifiable. So
but isn't it a matter of the courts saying...
The responsibility back in soccer, world soccer, goes back to the club themselves.
So you ban them.
Exactly.
They've played games in front of empty stadiums overseas because of hooliganism.
Yeah, well, we don't want that, do we?
Well, that's right.
But we want people who go and assault other people
to go to jail.
That's right.
Well, certainly suffer
This bloke should
go to jail. A penalty.
What I saw on the...
That's commensurate with the offence.
If I was the magistrate, I'd say, go and have a... Off you go to the sick bay, Keithy, for about 3 months.
But they don't do it, do they?
They don't. Hey, thanks, Muzz, for all your feedback this morning too. We appreciate that.
Just before we leave the footy shows that we talked about before, Timmy.
Yep.
Whatever happened to the squadron? I mean, there were a couple of highlights from it on Thursday night on the front bar.
They were relived the other night.
This morning, my very special guest is North Melbourne's champion young centre forward, Wayne Carey. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Thanks, Gary. Great to be here.
Wayne Shorebush, a new coach down there at North Melbourne. Now, we all know that Shimmer used to play it pretty tough. What's he like to be coached by?
He's a great coach. We're training fairly hard down at North at the moment. Things are going well.
Okay, that's just about all we've got time for now. Wayne, thanks very much for coming on the show this morning and getting out of bed. For your troubles, got a great Coca-Cola t-shirt for you.
Okay. We got the biggest names in football on that
what
show.
What an exchange, Gaz.
What about you laughing in the background? I see you do your first interview and I'll cut that up.
Somebody came to me yesterday and said, was Gary 13 when he was hosting the AFL?
Can you imagine using the word shy with Duck? He was, wasn't he?
Specky's on the road. G'day, Speck.
G'day, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, Speck.
Hey, gents. I just don't think Carlton last night were coached well in the first quarter. Let's face it, they're a immature system against a really mature system. And I just don't understand, Gaz, Wisp and Michael, why Bolton would allow Richmond to have their spare in their back half and not man him up and try and go head-to-head with a spare behind the ball with Carlton when we haven't got the same maturity in our players. And if he's going to do that all year, we're in for a long year again. But after he manned them up, we got back on the game. And at quarter time, it was 33 points difference. We lost, 32, and we've lost by 33. Just your comments, Michael?
Well, I understand your point. And I think in Carlton's situation, you just minimise your risk of getting blown apart and make sure that you're manned up.
Can I hop in? I don't want to interrupt you, but I just respect you. From what I saw, they were really slow to put an extra behind the footy. It wasn't until McGovern went down late, and I was more critical of the fact that they weren't protecting their back half earlier. Well, so I'm speaking, may have seen some other stuff unfold on the telly, or he might have been there, but from what I was watching, and it was the one-on-ones in Richmond's forward line with Lynch and with Nankervis pushing forward on the ruckman that was causing them the most problems, and they had no protection.
Yeah, the thing I remember most about the way Carlton played was the unforced errors.
Mm.
And I think as with the young team, make sure that you minimise your risk. And then to the best of your ability, don't make simple errors to hurt you. And they were hurt Curnow and two or three others dropped chess marks.
Oh, yeah.
They went down to pick the ball up and left it behind. Things like that. Now, you can't how do you prepare a team?
No.
I think the mantra has been in the off-season, they've been wanting to score because their scoring has been miserable in the past. So they've been more attacking in the way that they want to play. So I think that was a component of that last night early in that game.
Okay, tell me.
Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is what we've been preaching all summer. Right. Let's try and stick to our plan for at least a quarter of the game.
Well, you tell me what happened when there were three and four Richmond blokes against one Carlton bloke.
They got completely overpowered and outnumbered at the source early in that game. Completely outnumbered and overpowered.
$300
and then they matched
fine.
That up later in the game.
$300 fine, I'm told, for that bloke that was throwing the haymakers. I don't know if that's true. But then this other bloke, I beg your pardon. There's another man here that's telling us there was four or five blokes taking on the cops outside gate 3 20 minutes after the final siren. When I left at about 11:30, there was a booze bus out on the southern wing. So that was clearly what that was about.
And no one in the old days, people talk about there were blues in the old days.
They were,
but no one ever attacked the police.
Righto, we've got a few other things.
The police restored order as soon as they presented themselves.
And I hope they find your bike today too.
That's their main job. If not, our friends at Giant might be able to help you out. Righto, Western, these are some of the other issues you want to talk about, and you've got to be a bit shorter and sharper and more succinct.
Okay.
Western Bulldogs jumper, the Thor jumper for Marvel Stadium.
I didn't like it, but despite appearances, I am an old man. So it's not pitched at me. Didn't like it, and I don't like it in their first appearance of the season. I think the traditional jumper should always be worn first up.
Jesse Hogan?
Jesse Hogan. It's complicated.
It's very complicated. Yeah. They came out and clarified one part of this yesterday. So they said that the clinical
anxiety,
the clinical part has been removed from the explanation as to what he's going through right now, because
really?
That's an incorrect medical term.
So it's only anxiety.
Well, they're saying there's no such thing as clinical, like they being medical professionals in this space. So Peter Bell used the term in his first press conference. I don't know where he got it from. Maybe he was just trying to add some gravitas to it and to reinforce that this was a serious issue, but it's since been removed from all.
Whatever it is, however anxious Jesse is, there's no excuse for his behaviour in his circumstances a week before the start of the season. No. Yeah,
that's according to you. According to them, that is an excuse for his behaviour at the weekend.
No. Well, this is not a medical issue.
Because they haven't suspended him.
No.
They've just allowed him time away for the game,
but
because
they want
he's got a medical condition.
I reckon, like Belly, with the clinical anxiety. I mean, they're trying to paint a picture that this was a situation beyond their control.
Are you saying they're spinning this?
Yes.
That's dangerous territory.
I know.
That you're getting into.
But it's only, you asked me for an opinion.
Yes, it's an uneducated.
I'm not putting my stethoscope on and saying this is a medical opinion.
No, so, but what we're saying, or what Ross Lyon is saying in this instance, if you don't know, then that's, to call it out and you don't know for certain is a dangerous
thing.
Gary,
what I do know is that a week before his first season at a new club on about 900K a year, he's out getting on the gas.
So that's, your opinion on that is indisputable. So that's irresponsible behaviour and not acceptable.
Yeah.
But Tim's question was,
but
do you think there's
some spin on this? And
I think it's been spun. Yeah.
I agree with Mike on this point. If you go out there and you create a term, clinical anxiety, and it doesn't exist in the medical world, that is an element of spin that you're attaching to a story.
I'd need to talk to Peter Bell about how that term was used.
Well, it was used emphatically. It was he's being diagnosed with clinical anxiety, and apparently, according to medicos, because they're outraged over there, doesn't exist.
So what is undeniable is he's been in treatment for a long period of time for his issues.
That's right.
So let's not lose sight of that. They're not making up the issue.
No, but they wanted to make
up the term.
No, that's true. But they wanted to make it sound more serious,
that's
potentially
serious,
than what.
Tim, if you're going and getting help for a psychologist,
that's okay.
That's
but
serious.
I understand that. But it is also very serious to make up a medical term if
correct.
It doesn't exist.
Yep. I 100% agree with you, and I'd want to talk to Peter to whether he did that maliciously or it was just some. I want to know how that
well,
came
Gary,
about.
Tell me what his situation at Melbourne. It's the same Jesse Hogan that was at Melbourne last year. Mm. Did the problem manifest itself at Melbourne?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know whether he was seeking professional help when he was at Melbourne. I don't know the answer to that.
No, don't look at me. I don't know the answer to that either.
A great 5 for 30. That was for Melbourne's cheapest vans and utes. It's tradies heaven. Now, the call of the week's Billy from Packnham. He rang on Monday. He put forward a very good case for Steve Smith returning to the captaincy. So Billy's into the draw to win a brand new Toyota Hilux SR5. Great finance offer on 2018 model RAV4s. Well done. You can search Toyota Value for all of that. Now, let's do our crystal ball predictions for the weekend. Thanks to Abercrombie and Kent. You go first, Tim. Michael. What's your prediction for this weekend?
I think Brisbane Lions can get West Coast up at the Gabba.
That is a big crystal
ball
prediction.
Write it down, Gaz.
It's not the silliest prediction you've done.
I'm predicting that Clayton Oliver will get 30 at the weekend.
Oh,
wow, that's rash.
Every week.
Yeah.
In the first quarter.
That's a crystal ball prediction. Thanks to Abercrombie and Kent for your chance. What about this, Whispers? You want to go on one of these?
Oh,
I think
dude,
you and I
want to go with you.
Ambassadors to win a $30,000 luxury African safari. Head to iCanWin.com.au and your AFL crystal ball prediction.
Can we all go?
You'd like to go on safari?
I would.
No, but Mike would have to get up in the night to go to the toilet, and that might be the end of
the
it.
Ford,
I reckon my bladder would improve there, Gaz.
That could be the end of him. Hey, I think we've got time to quickly go through and give you tips. Right, Collingwood Geelong?
I actually like Geelong.
Oh.
Okay. I like Geelong too, but I'm going for Collingwood.
I'm going to Collingwood. Melbourne Port?
Melbourne.
Snap. Adelaide Hawthorn?
Adelaide.
Adelaide. Bulldog Sydney?
Whew.
That's at Marvel?
Yeah.
In the Thor jumpers?
I've gone for the Bulldogs.
I like your adventure, Tim, but I think Sydney will win.
Sydney for me. Brisbane, you're going for Brisbane to beat the reigning Premier.
I am.
What about you, Whispers?
No, I'm going for West Coast.
I wish I was as brave as you, Michael, but I'll be going for West Coast. St Kilda Gold Coast. Now, here's a game. We spoke to Alan Richardson. You can listen to what he had to say on our Twitter page.
We'll say this, Gaz. If St Kilda were playing anyone else in the competition, they'd get done. But I think they've still got a class edge on Gold Coast.
They have to win.
Yeah, me too. Giants and Essendon. No Josh Kelly.
I'm going up for this game.
Are you?
Yeah.
Guest of?
My grandson's running out with the Giants.
Beautiful.
How good's that?
Who are you tipping?
Giants.
Giants.
Giants, and then Freo take on North Melbourne to round out the first round of the season.
Well, I think Kangas.
Freo at home.
I'm going with Freo in an upset. Great to have you in, Michael. We'll see you next Friday. Cane Corns next? No? Yes.